attacking Sinjar and taking girls to use as sex slaves wasn't a spontaneous decision made on the battlefield by a greedy soldier. ISIS planned it all. How they would come into our homes. What made a girl more or less valuable? Which militants deserved a sabiya as incentive and which should pay? They even discussed sabaya in their glossy propaganda magazine Dabiq, in an attempt to draw new recruits. From their centers in Syria and sleeper cells in Iraq, they mapped out the slave trade for months, determining what they thought was and was not legal under Islamic law. And they wrote it down so that all Islamic State members would follow the same brutal rules. Anyone can read it. The details of the plan for sabaya are collected in a pamphlet issued by ISIS's research and fatwa department. And it is sickening. Partly because of what it says, and partly because of how ISIS says it. So matter of fact, like the law of any state, confident that what they are doing is sanctioned by the Quran. Sabaya can be given as gifts and sold at the whim of the owner, for they are merely property, the Islamic State pamphlet reads. Women shouldn't be separated from their young children, which is why Dimal and Adki were told to stay in Solah. But grown children like Malik can be taken away from their mothers. There are rules for what happens if a sabiya becomes pregnant. She cannot be sold. Or if her owner dies, she is distributed as part of his estate.